Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On last week's show, we talked about the voice technology, which is used to provide visually impaired people with an audio representation of the world around them. This week, we'll learn how concepts from the voice technology have been applied to the audio screen add-in for NVDA.
We'll speak with Mick Curran, co-lead developer of the NVDA screen reader, about how this add-on works, and we'll hear a demonstration that Mick gives about audio screen in action. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Mick Curran.
If you have an idea, at least give it a go once, try it out. Don't think that you're not smart enough to achieve the goal. You might fail, but someone's got to try. And, because when you do, you can make big changes.
And Mick and his partner, Jamie Tay, are great examples of that. They started the NVDA screen reader just about 10 years ago because they needed a screen reader.
And starting slow, bit by bit, they built it up into a tool that many, many, many visually impaired people around the world are making use of. So thank you to Mick and Jamie. And we hope other people will take Mick's advice and do similarly daring things.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Mystic Access, providing assistive technology audio tutorials and trainings designed to empower and motivate. Products are created by the blind for the blind. More information available at mysticaccess.com, where the magic is in learning. Let's start by meeting Mick and learning a bit about NVDA in general before we get into the focus topic about audio screen.
So we're pleased to have Mick Curran on the show today, and you've been on the show before. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and what your main task is before we get into talking about audio screen.
Okay, so I was born partially sighted and became totally blind at 15. Around about the same time, became very interested in computers and the world of the internet and things like that, and realized very quickly that I had a major interest in programming and stuff like that. I also had an interest in blindness advocacy and was a participant in Blind Citizens Australia for quite a while as well. But I suppose about 10 years ago, I found something where I could sort of merge the two passions of mine to helping other blind people and also computers and programming. And I created NVDA, the free and open source screen reader. And I and James Tay in NV Access have been working on NVDA for now the last 10 years in April.
And just in case anybody who's listening to this does not know what NVDA is, that's the non-visual desktop access free screen reader that you guys put together.
That's right.
Well, that's quite impressive that you continued for so long and provided that free service to people around the world who can't afford screen readers. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is audio screen, a new add-on for NVDA.
So what we mainly wanted to talk to you about today was a plugin that you recently put together built on the voice technology, in which we've talked about in previous shows, and how that works in NVDA to give blind people access to graphics and color information on the screen. Can you give an overview of what audio screen is all about?
Yeah, okay. So I found out about the voice or the VOICE several years back, maybe 2003 or so, I think I started playing with it. And back then I could definitely see its potential. I mean, I don't use it like some people do. I know there are people around who actually use it as, you know, almost one of their primary mobility aids, and good on them for if it works for them. That's really great. I just sort of personally don't have the time to be able to put into it to learn it fully like that, because it's a very subconscious process. You know, having a constant picture of the world coming into you via audio as you're moving around.
In fact, when we talked to Pranav Lal about that last week, he basically uses it for a mobility aid to see what's in a room, see where the doors and windows are. But
right.
You put it to a very different use, didn't you?
Yes, yes. So maybe around 5 years ago or so, when touchscreens started first coming out, I very quickly came up with the idea of saying, well, look, this voice technology is great, but maybe it can be used in a more flat way in terms of looking at the environment around you. Why can't it be used to actually navigate a picture or a map or something on the screen? So the idea was, as you move your finger around the screen, you would hear only what was underneath your finger, but using the sort of the same mappings that the voice uses. So obviously pitch for height and stereo for left and right, and loudness for brightness. And so I started to play with this a little bit in 2010, but only as a very small side project. And also back then, the ability for assistive technologies to access touch in Windows was very rudimentary. This is just when Windows 7 came out. And a lot of work still needed to be done by Microsoft. But now, as of Windows 10 or even Windows 8, they've improved things a great deal. And obviously NVDA itself has support for touchscreens. And so I just extended my idea that I had in 2010. And from about November last year, I've been working on it a little bit more actively and adding a lot more features.
Can you describe some of these features?
I added a special color mode, which doesn't exist in the VoICE. And this is it's a little bit hard to explain, but it maps sort of the three different aspects of color into sound so that you can get an idea of what color is under your finger. But rather than just, you know, obviously there'd be easy ways to just read the name of the color or something under your finger, but I wanted a much more subjective feel. Oddly, I'm a very objective person, but sometimes when it comes to art or, you know, or maps and things like that, there's a lot of visual subjective information which just can't be explained through words. And so I wanted a way to convey in a sort of a very high resolution, infinite way to convey the colors.
And how does this color mode work?
One aspect of color is hue. So I use pitch for that. So that's like, you know, sort of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, sort of on a sliding scale. Then you've got how much sort of grey or white is in the colour, the saturation, they call that, and I use sort of white noise for that over the top of the other tone, and then also loudness is obviously the brightness of the colour. And so those three aspects all together, you can really hear in great detail any particular color you put your finger on. And as an example, I remember once I finished coding it, you know, I had all these ideas in my head, and I sort of knew it would sort of work to some extent, but it was still so amazing though when I'd finished coding it and I found a picture of a rainbow on the internet and just moved my finger over it, and it really did bring it back to me in my mind, because I'd obviously had partial vision before 15. And, yeah, it really did work for me in terms of perceiving all the different colours again. As I say, in a very sort of high-resolution way. It's not just like it was just saying, oh, this is red, orange, yellow. It was much more detailed than that because it's a sliding scale.
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky translating the colour variations and the details in colour variations into a series of complex sounds. But it sounds like you managed to do it in a way that's at least describable and does give you some feedback. We'll see from the demonstrations later on that it really does give you an interesting sense of going through a rainbow. And that was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really, you know, no one's ever, you know, especially a totally blind person from birth or something, no one's ever going to be able to come up with a way to really get the full appreciation of what any single color is. But what this can do, though, is at least show you color changes and color comparisons.
And basically, just to be clear for our listeners, what you're doing here is on your tablet or touchscreen PC, you're moving your finger very slowly through the scene of either a rainbow or a sunset and hearing these variations in the complex tones and pitches to give you feedback as to how the color is varying.
That's correct, yeah.
So I'm wondering, there are many different ways of describing color. And when you talk about the hue, you know, people think about in the spectrum. So there's red, orange, yellow, but you can also, in the printed page, you can imagine more of a wheel so that once you get through blue and purple, then it'll come back around to red. And yet you have the pitch going up as the hue is changing. What do you do when you come back around to red?
Yes. For me, though, and this is biased just to the way that my brain works, I actually have the hue go up from blue. It's actually backwards. Blue is the lowest pitch and red is the highest pitch. So blue, green, yellow, orange, red. Once it gets to the top there, I start, as it goes more purple, I start bringing in the original blue note louder and louder, and the red note goes away. So it's no longer sort of like a pitch change through the purples, but it's an actual, it's like it's a ratio, you know, loudness ratio change from red back to blue.
Oh, how interesting.
I'm not terribly attached to that approach, but I just needed some way of, as you point out, joining the circle back together. And yeah, that was just one way I came up with.
So this has all sorts of potential applications. You know, I think about how difficult it is for any 3 or 4 year old to learn shapes and shape names. And for a blind child, it can't be any easier, that you could put colored shapes on the screen and let the child explore the shape.
Yeah, definitely. You could. And my belief is, and you know, it could be wrong, but it seemed to have worked for me, is that you provide the brain with as much detailed, high-resolution information as possible, just like how vision is for the eyes, and you just let the brain sort it out subconsciously. So yeah, a 3 or 4 year old may not understand everything about a computer, but you just let them play with it. You just let them put their hands all over it, and eventually, well, my theory is, or my hypothesis, is that just like with vision, their brain will just eventually snap to it.
The brain is pretty plastic, especially at young ages.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Quite adaptable.
Yeah.
So anyway, we talked a bit about color and how you can move your finger around the screen to investigate color scenes and variations, but you also have some other interesting capabilities here for investigating differences between regions and lines. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah. So there are two modes in the software. There's the VOICE mode and the color mode. So what you're referring to is back in the VOICE mode where they play a picture or something, it scans across from left to right, and that's how you can see the picture in its entirety. With audio screen, as you move around, it doesn't scan from left to right automatically because obviously you're actively moving your finger around all the time, and if it was to scan from left to right, it'd be a bit disorientating. So it plays everything at once as you move around, or at least everything under your finger. So if your finger goes over a line from left to right, you will actually hear the line pass sort of over the stereo spectrum from right to left, as in because your finger is, you know, passing the other way. So you're hearing from your finger's point of view, but you're the one who has to do the moving. It's not automatic like with the voice.
Right, that makes sense.
Because you're really trying to get, you know, it really should be like feeling the picture. You have full control with your finger.
Right. So you can hear as your finger passes over a line, for example, you hear a sound coming through from one side of your head to the other.
That's right. The opposite way to you were moving your finger. That's right.
Because that's the direction that the object is moving basically across your finger as your finger is moving across the object.
Exactly. That's right.
So this is a great way for investigating a map, for example, where there are borders between states or countries.
That's right. That's right. And we can enhance that even further by then placing labels and things for the various states. So if you're using, you'd be using audio screen with NVDA, and NVDA can automatically read information about what's under your finger already. So if you have a map that's well labeled, so a nice SVG file, say a map of Australia, where all the states are properly labeled, as you move into each state, Well, obviously you will hear the borders with audio screen in great detail, but then also NVDA will say the name of the state as well, because it will hit the label.
That's terrific. So this gives you a very different kind of detail of what's under your finger on the screen.
Yeah, that's correct.
Are there any other major features?
There's an extra feature that I didn't cover in my original demo, which I do need to update that at some point, but I have talked about on my on the audio screen website, which is sonification of the NVDA Navigator object. So this is for people who don't necessarily own a touchscreen, but they still want the VoICE feature for any particular graphic or something that they may find. So all you need to do is, if you've got audio screen installed, you just move the Navigator object to anywhere on the screen. It might be a graphic on a website or something like that, and then you just press the command to do that, which I think it's just gone out of my head now. NVDA Alt A, I think. And it will just do the normal VoICE scan from left to right, but just that particular object you're talking about. So when I was testing this, I was doing things like just doing a Google image search for sine wave or circles or whatever, and I could just find those individual graphics and, you know, listen to each one as I went along. So in theory, if you had a chart or a graph that wasn't too detailed, you could use that to hear a trend of the data.
Oh, that's nice. You can use this for mathematical or scientific work. If you had an Excel spreadsheet where you made a graph, you can investigate that with your fingers.
Yeah, you could. Excel spreadsheets are very detailed because of all the grid lines and the labels and such. It'll be a little bit hard with Excel, but what I'm currently working on at the moment, hasn't been released, but I'm prototyping it right now, is giving more direct access in particularly Excel. So adding a new command, if you are in an Excel chart, press that and it will actually specifically sonify that particular graph. Now, that's not exactly like the VoICE. This is, in fact, more like some people may be familiar with the accessible graphing calculator, or there's another hardware calculator as well that's been talked about for the last few years, which can sonify graphs. So it's exactly the same as that idea. So I'll be coming out with a new release of audio screen very soon with that feature in as well.
It sounds like you're still working on this and plan to put in more features into this plugin.
Definitely. And then I guess after that is really trying to get some focus groups together and stuff. As in, you know, I have a lot of hypotheses myself on how this works, and I know how it works for me, but I know I'm a very particular person in terms of I had vision. A lot of people didn't. So that means I'm more susceptible to visual information. So, for instance, when Jamie tries to use it, he has a bit more trouble than me in perceiving maps and things. So, but yeah, I just want to do a bit more research on it. And so, you know, putting it out there in the first place, doing a bit of extra research. I mean, obviously, we go to the CSUN conference every year, so I'm hoping to meet up with quite a lot of people this year and, you know, get them to do some testing and get their opinions on things.
So people should check in as you continue to make modifications and improvements.
Absolutely, yes. It's a very much ongoing project.
And by CSUN, he meant the International Accessibility Conference that took place in March in San Diego. But, of course, we recorded the interview before that happened, so for him it was in the future. Mix described many of the features of audio screen, and with his permission, what we're going to present you with now is some very short excerpts of a much more involved demo that Mick has on his website, and we will have the link to that demo in the show notes for this show. But we're not going to be replaying the descriptions from that demo here. So the first thing we'd like to play for you is Mick running his finger across a couple of rectangles. This is on a black surround with a white border and a gray interior.
And so you can hear the lines go over my fingers, so you're hearing exactly what my finger would be feeling.
Mick also described running his finger across a rainbow, and here's that rainbow.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to switch modes in audio screen using NVDA Control A again. I'm going to switch to HSV color mode. I'm going to do a diagram of a rainbow. So I'm just going to put my finger on the left side of the screen. I'm going to go across the one of the sides of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, aqua, blue, violet, edge.
And then he also includes a map of Australia in the demo, and you'll be able to hear his speech synthesizer reading very quickly the names of the various states as he passes over them.
So I'm going to open a map of Australia in Mozilla Firefox. So this SVG file has the states of Australia, and they are labeled. The background of Australia is a very dark colour, not quite black though, and the lines separating the states are nice and bright white so that we will be able to hear them quite well. So firstly, what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn on audio screen to the pitch stereo grey mode. I'm going to put my finger on the roughly in the left side of the screen near the middle. So firstly, I'm going to be in the ocean, you won't hear anything, and I'm going to move it slowly to the right. You heard me cross into Western Australia off the ocean. Still going right. Still going right. Crossed into Northern Territory, and you heard the border go right across from right to left there. Still going right. Crossed into Queensland. Still going right. Still going right. And we've crossed off into the sea again. And you heard each of those vertical lines go from right to left.
And again, we'll have a link to the full demo on the show notes on our website. Now for this week's final item, how to get more information about Audio Screen for NVDA, including how to implement it.
Now, how easy is it for someone to implement this feature in NVDA? What do they have to do?
You can go to the Audio Screen website, which is www.github.com/nvaccess/audioscreen. And on that page, there is a way to download the Audio Screen add-on file. So you just follow that link. If you're running NVDA, it will ask you automatically if you want to install the add-on. You can just say yes, and it will restart NVDA, and you've got Audio Screen. Then there are several commands to change modes and things like that, but I'd strongly advise read the main page on the website, and it gives details on all the commands and help and things like that.
We're always advising people to read documentation. That can be very helpful.
Yes, it is.
Well, that's terrific. And if people want to download the NVDA free screen reader, where do they get that?
Yeah, they can go to www.nvaccess.org, and they can find download on that page. And yeah, they can download the latest release of NVDA from there.
And you have some mailing groups and DLs that people can participate in to ask questions and all?
That's correct. On the download page, there is a link to other community resources, and one of those resources is a sort of general NVDA email list, not specifically run by us, but by respected community members there. And you can ask a lot of questions there. If you're interested in development, there are also development resources. We have a development email list, a developer guide, and all that kind of stuff. Most of the development, if you're strongly interested in developing for NVDA, you can go to www.github.com/nvaccess/nvda. So for those who may have been following NVDA in the past, we've actually moved our development off our own servers and stuff because it was too much to have to keep up with. And now we're just using a quite well-known sort of community development system, GitHub.
Well, that's nice to know that you are getting other developers to contribute in terms of plugins and translating into other languages and things like that, because it's a lot of work for you and Jamie to do this all alone.
It is a great deal of work. We are slowly growing our organization. So obviously we've existed since 2007, but until September last year, we were only really two employees. Now we've got a third who is actually, I'm excited to say, is almost finished some training material, which we're going to be releasing, which a lot of people have been asking for. So that will be good when that comes out.
Well, that is great.
So yeah, we're slowly moving along.
And in addition to the contact information that Mick provided, if you'd prefer, you can find them on Facebook or Twitter at NV Access. And if you want to submit any email questions, you can do that to admin@nvaccess.org. It is just amazing how much progress so few people have been able to accomplish. It's fantastic.
I was just sort of lucky in the position I was that I, well, I don't want to say lucky that I didn't have a job, but my point was, you know, that I had the time at the beginning and I guess the drive to try this. And then other people, of course, have come on board around me and Jamie and, you know, allowed us to continue doing what we're doing. And obviously it is filling a need anyway. So when you do feel a genuine need, usually people are willing to help or support you because obviously they become dependent upon it. And
as Jamie said last time we talked with him about NVDA, you guys are constantly coming up with new features and upgrades to follow the progression of new OSs and other features that you want to implement. That's nice to know.
That's correct, yeah.
And we would like to congratulate Mick Curran and Jamie Tay again on 10 years of NVDA being a very successful free screen reader that they've been providing to visually impaired people around the world. And they've started having annual international conferences, and the one for 2016 was a special celebration of the 10-year anniversary, and that was the last two weekends in April of 2016. And we will provide links to all of the sessions and information about that conference also.
So you know where to go for all those links and the contact information you heard about, as well as links to some of the demos. You might want to hear Mick's full demo of how Audio Screen works. Just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show 1619. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the Vision Quest experience. We'll speak with Maribel Steele about the Vision Quest program she organized, in which blind and sighted people explored their community and learned about both it and each other, as well as her role as an international peer advisor for the AFB's Vision Aware program. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.